Right. There we go. Well, great to be with you. Thank you for the privilege of inviting me here for this weekend, this Easter weekend. I'm going to pray and then we'll get going. Father, I just offer this time to you. We pray, Lord, as Mark's prayed, we pray for your word to find a place in our hearts. But Lord, more than anything, we pray that you would be glorified. Jesus, we give this time to you this whole weekend. Lord, that you would be lifted up, Jesus, in each of our hearts. Lord, and may you have greater access in all our lives, Lord, leading us forth into that which you've got for us. So we thank you. We are on you're on our side, Lord. And Lord, you're for us at this time, as you always are, Lord. And so we praise you. And we thank you, we can look at your word together. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I don't know whether what your favorite sort of times in church are. Okay, what's your favorite times? You might say, oh, hang on, it was, you know, those meetings we had where God really moved I'm sure that's great. And, you know, I'm not in any way decrying that. But, you know, if you said to me, what are your favorite times in church life? I would say this, I'd say building days. Because building days, you come together and, you know, yeah, you might get a bit tired because you work together, but you're working with others and you're pulling together in a same way. You know, I used to lead the building days when we were in Eltham. I was in charge of building this big extension that we built. And I remember one, we'd concreted the first floor. And, you know, it was quite an area. Seven loads of concrete had gone in by a pump the previous day or previous week. And a week later, we had to strip out all this wood from underneath. And there was scaffolding. We put the scaffolding up to support it. And we'd strip it all out in a weekend, in a Saturday, basically, Friday night and Saturday, because we wanted the church to be up and running on the Sunday. I remember working till 10:30 at night, and we were virtually delirious with tiredness. But it was great. We were there in fellowship, and there was this attitude of pulling together. And for me, you know, and other times, you know, when I've been the pastor, and we've had building days, I've loved those. And it's that sense of being together, working together. It's something wonderful. And you know how would you define that? Well, I define it by the word fellowship. I call it fellowship. And what I want to do in these times we have together this weekend is I want to look at four themes from the book of 1 John. And the first one I want to look at is the word fellowship. And because, you know, I think it really goes to the heart of us wanting, not just as Christians, but as men and women, that's what our hearts long for, is fellowship. I don't know whether any of you have ever read the book All Quiet on the Western Front. Maybe you've seen the film, made about three films of it. And I read it a number of years ago now. And what struck me, you know, it's the book is basically the life story, the account of it's a novel, it's not real, but it's a novel about the life of a German soldier in the trenches in the First World War. And basically it looks at different aspects of what it was like, you know, the hell of it all. And the one thing that I always remember from that book is that he came to the conclusion, you know, they'd go home and leave, and he said, it didn't mean anything to me, you know, just because you're just living in this horror of possible death and mutilation every day. And he said, the one thing that stood out, the one thing that was redeemable, if you like, was the camaraderie, the sense that there we were together fighting and we were a band of brothers. And it had that sense of fellowship about it. They'd learned to be in fellowship together, if you like, in that awful situation. But, and 1 John really is an encouragement to us, to believers, to his spiritual children to sort of keep going and not to give in, not to allow yourself to be taken over by that which is false. So I'm going to read to you from chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. It says this: "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life, the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full." So what is this fellowship that he is talking about? Well, really, this fellowship is a relationship, first and foremost. It starts with a relationship. I believe that what fellowship is where your heart's given to another. And you almost become one in that. You know, the word fellowship, literally, the Greek word is the word koinonia. And koinonia, we get our word coitus, or sexual intercourse. Because really, it's that intimacy between two people, not physical intimacy I'm talking about, but that heart intimacy. Because of course, marriage should really start in the heart, where two people join their hearts together and they start to want to live, to move together and work out a life together. And really that's what fellowship is. At its root, it is a heart being joined together. And what John is saying here is that that when he knew Jesus Christ, it was that our hearts were joined, and we realized that we were being drawn into something of a real deep relationship together. And I think he saw that, this fellowship together with God, and he realized not just with the Son, but with the Father. And it's wonderful that we can enter into that at our hearts, and that's where it starts. And then of course he just says fellowship isn't just hearts being together, although it starts like that. It's the outworking of a life together. So he talks about we, I don't know about you, but I'm very envious of John that he could touch Jesus, that he could see what Jesus was like physically. And they could walk together and talk together. It must have been wonderful to be like that. You know, I'm so looking forward to meeting the Lord. Because wouldn't it be wonderful to be able to be like that, to have real heart, not just the spiritual fellowship that I have now, but have almost a much greater fellowship where our whole lives can be joined together and move together. And it's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Let's see, what's it? It says in John 17, verse 3, "And this is eternal life, they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." So we see that eternal life isn't just a goal, maybe even here, maybe there's some that think eternal life is just that which we are going to get when we die. But he's saying this life that we experience, Jesus is praying this and saying this life is knowing God. It's knowing Jesus. It's having that relationship now. That's life. That's eternal life. We can know that in our hearts. And it's wonderful, eternal life. And it's great that we're talking about these things on Good Friday. Because, you know, really, this eternal life, this fellowship that we can come into with God, all came about because of what happened on the cross. Without the cross, then we can't really have fellowship with God. When Jesus hung on the cross And he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? That was the pivotal moment, because his fellowship that he'd always known throughout eternity with Father was broken at that point. Broken because sin, he was bearing our sin upon the cross. And because he's bearing our sin, Father is angry with him. Not because he's angry with him as a person, but angry because he's bearing the sin and the hatred and the and everything that's anti-God is being born in Jesus on that cross. And so fellowship is broken between Father and Son, but only broken so that you and I and all the countless others that have gone before and will go beyond us can enter in to this wonderful fellowship between Father, Son, and all his sons in heaven. Now that's something to get excited about, that we can know this eternal life. We enter into that eternal, that life that's always been there in eternity between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we can enter into that. Why? Because the fellowship was broken on Calvary. And we enter into that gap, enter into the veil of his flesh broken for us. And that's where we come, so that we can enjoy this common life. We can and we can enjoy this fellowship, this life, this in the Spirit, which is wonderful. And we can know God. When we stand before him, we don't have to worry about condemnation, because he's taken the borne our condemnation before God. We don't have to fear the wrath of God, because Jesus has borne it for us. And we can come freely to him and come with boldness into his presence and know this life of God in us. Wow, isn't it wonderful? Fellowship, joined. Fellowship means communion. It means being joined, having a common life. And we can know that common life with the Son of God, where there we are moving together in heart. And it's wonderful. Amen. You know, it says here, fellowship leads, it says this, and these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. Fellowship leads to joy. Are you joyful tonight in your hearts? Because you know in heaven there's joy. The world might, you think, oh, look what's going on in the world, all the rubbish going on in the world. All the hatred, all the awful things taking place. And yet God, there's joy in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Fullness of joy. And that's what we can have, because we're in fellowship with him. We're in communion with him in heaven. Or we can know that. And we should be living in that joy. I think God loves it when we're just happy to be with him. And the joy comes from him. Because that's it, in his presence there's joy. Amen. And whatever we're going through tonight, we can know the joy of the Lord. We might be very difficult circumstances. We might be finding it very tough life, and I don't belittle that. But in the presence of God, you know, I've heard it said that, you know, you come and you experience the presence of God and it's wonderful, and then you go out and it's tough again. Maybe that's your experience. But the truth is that in that fellowship with God, we know the joy of the Lord. And it sort of lifts us and takes us through those difficult times, because we know that. I think one thing that I'm learning, even again, I suppose, is just the Lord wants you to enjoy his presence. He wants you to enjoy his presence. He doesn't want, you know, you might have difficulties, but come to the Lord. Come and enter into that fellowship. This is why Jesus died, that you can know that strength and that ability to go forward. You know, it says in Romans, The kingdom of God does not consist in meat and drink, but in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And that's it. That's the fellowship. Righteousness, peace, and joy is yours when you enter into that kingdom of God that Jesus Christ has made a way for you to enjoy. Enjoy the Lord. Enjoy worshiping. Enjoy praying and seeking him. And make that the greatest joy, because you come there and you know him. I think, wow, it's fellowship. It's fellowship. It's wonderful. And that's the truth. You know, do we forget that? We get encumbered by things, encumbered by busyness, encumbered by problems, encumbered by meetings. And it's so easy to get sidetracked off of making our fellowship with the Lord is our number one priority. To know that time, and I seek to do it every morning. I seek to come before the Lord and unburden myself, give him what's going on, and just to rediscover his presence in my life. And I find that's good. That's a wonderful place to be. Often, yeah, we lose that joy because we've cut ourselves off from fellowship with the Lord. Not intentionally, maybe, just things have come in, crowded that out. So I encourage you, get back to that place. If you're finding a sort of heaviness tonight, just come back to that place of fellowship with the Lord, where it's just you open your heart and just enjoy him, because that is the wonder of this salvation that Jesus died to bring us into. We can know him. You know, even if we ended up being persecuted, we know that joy taking us through the situation, because he is with us in it. We've opened our hearts and we're moving together with him. Let's read on in this chapter one. It says this: this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. He starts there by saying God is light. Now, you can do two things with light. Well, you can do lots of things. But one thing, either you can run away from it. You know, that's why you light fires in the jungle, because it's to scare off the animals. They don't like the light because they're exposed. And Jesus made it very clear that that's what happened. People do with him. They run away from Jesus because he's light. They don't want their deeds to be showing up, that they're not of God. But there's another aspect to light, if you like, and that might be true for a lot of people, and that's that, you know, this thing about flies are attracted to the light, you know, and if they have a light, they'll go there, and so that's why they have insecticutors in restaurants, so they zap all the flies to get them away. But why do flies... what attracts flies to the light? Well, I looked it up. I thought, that's interesting. You know what it is? It's the fact that they're attracted to light because what they actually do is, when they fly up to the light, they fly around with their backs to the light. This is what scientists have said, anyway. So I trust that. I trust it's not just AI. But and basically, because what they're doing, the light will give them eyes, if you like, shines up if there are any enemies coming. So if you like, they're doing it for safety. So there they are, flying around your light with their backs to the light, but looking for what might be attacking them or what might be a danger to them. So, and that's very interesting, isn't it? Because you realize that that's what people can do. Some people are attracted to church because it's safe, because it's a place that they can, yeah, they like the flies, they feel safe running around. But in fact, they've got their backs to the Lord and they're flying around, but really they're just doing it for their own personal safety. There's not that sense of fellowship. They're not looking at the Lord. And you realize that in fellowship, you have to look at the other person. You can't fellowship with your back to them. Because what you've got to do is, when you face that person, you've got to open your heart. You've got to share what's there. That's what creates fellowship, when there's openness to share what's inside you. And obviously that is what we need to do with the Lord. We need to come and be honest with the Lord and face him. And this is the wonderful thing about Jesus. We can face Jesus tonight because of what he's done on the cross. We don't have to be frightened in case he's going to sort of have a go at us or chuck us out or reject us in any way. All he wants is for us to come with an open face. All he wants is to come and face him tonight in all his glory and his wonder. And we think, well, how can we do that? Well, we've got to believe that he's forgiven us. We've got to believe that there's nothing against us in his heart tonight. And if we're prepared to do that, we can know that fellowship with him. And we can know maybe things are going to get shown up in our lives. Well, that's great. Because all he's going to do is show things up that we can put them right, or that he can help us put them right. So we're being honest. We can be straight with him. Isn't he wonderful? I think it's lovely because this is it. You know, so often with people you feel you've got to, you know, got to be careful what you say, or you've got to, you know, you don't want to expose yourself or something like that. And you can't have fellowship on that basis because you're not sharing your life. But with the Lord, and it starts with you and the Lord, you come and you open your heart and you share everything that's there. And if he puts his finger on something and he doesn't bring any condemnation, but he might bring his finger on something and say, you know what, you ought to go and forgive that person. You ought to get that sorted out. Just very gently, this is the way he's dealt with me. I'm ever so glad this is the way he's dealt with me. Just that little thing here and there, just forgive that brother. You just find your own heart getting, I don't know, a bit upset about someone. Then just come to the Lord and allow him to wash it away. Because that's what this scripture is telling us to do. Just come. And it doesn't matter. He's not going to condemn you. He's not going to write you off because you're not right. He's just going to love you. And this is our wonderful Jesus and a wonderful way he's made for us. That we can continue in that fellowship that's in heaven. You know, it always upset me when I was pastor when people would say, well, you know, I wasn't feeling very good today, so I didn't come to church. You know, and I think, what do you think church is about? Surely church is the place to get yourself right. You know, people have this idea, oh no, I've got to be right to get to church. And I think, oh, leave it out. You know, and generally those sort of people didn't really go through with God. Because what they're saying, oh no, I must protect my image. I must protect myself. I can't be in fellowship with God or his people. And I think that's very sad for whoever ever say that. I can't go in the presence of God because of what I've done or because of what I'm feeling or whatever. It's when we come as we are that the Lord loves it. And it can have fellowship. See, you can't have fellowship with an image. We've got to understand that we live in a society which is governed by image. you know, Hollywood, the great new car you can have, because it'll make you feel good about yourself. And we always have a big joke. I don't know if anyone here watches The One Show. We don't watch The One Show, because all that is an exercise in self-promotion. Someone's got a book to sell. Someone's got a record out. Someone's got this or that. It's just promotion. Just trying to project this, oh, bonhomie and all the rest of it. I think, well, there's no fellowship, no reality there. And we've got a, God wants a people that are just honest and come and doesn't, we're not trying to live up to an image. I think so often, you know, the church has been thought to be a place where, you know, you must be perfect. And the truth is that we're not perfect. I'm only perfect because of Jesus. I'm only perfect to the degree in which I give myself to Jesus, because he's the perfect one. And anything that is in my life is all down to him. So how can I turn around and say, I ought to be perfect? Because I'm not, but he is. And he wants to take me on. I know that as we walk with him, yeah, he puts this right and that right. And I hope gradually I'm getting there. But the truth is that there will still be things that aren't quite right, that God will show up as we walk in fellowship together. you know, he wants you to look him in the eye and just know you're loved. Know you're loved. Doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are. But just the fact that you're loved. And you realize that when you know you're loved, then you can endure all sorts of things. Doesn't matter what so-and-so says about you. Doesn't matter when things seem to be going wrong. Doesn't matter. Because you're loved. And you know if you're loved by God, then he's going to look after you. And the situation's in his hands. And, you know, it takes a lot of pressure off you. Yes. And I think something I've been discovering again recently, more fully, is that the answer is just to humble yourself at times. Just humble yourself. You know, stop trying to be a pretend that you're this great person, or you've got to protect you like the fly buzzing around the light with his back to it. So I've got to protect myself. I've got, this is what it's all about. Protecting myself. And I would say, stop protecting, let me protect you. Because I can do a much better job of it than you can. And I've got you in my hand. And I'm not going to let you go. Do you know tonight, you're loved by God. That's amazing. Not just when he went to the cross. You know, a lot of people can do a great, very noble deed. And, you know, they can lay down their lives. You know, you read the history of war heroes, you know, and the people that won the VC, and they went and they rescued, you know, 15 men from no man's land under fire. And they did a great act of salvation, really, for those men. But, you know, the Lord loves you now. But they wouldn't necessarily say that he's got that person, went and loved those people that he saved. Did a good job once for him. The Lord loves you now. Not just a once-off great rescue act upon your life, but a day by day. You know, I want to know I'm loved. I know that's the greatest thing that I want to know in my life, is that I'm loved. And if I'm loved, I can endure. Because, you know, that's really what matters. That's really what matters. And I want to say this tonight. You are loved by God. You are loved by God tonight. Not just in so because he wanted to be your saviour, although he wanted to be your saviour, but because he loves you day by day by day. With all your ups and downs, all your faults, all you're getting it wrong, all you're taking the wrong turn, he's loved you. Just like probably if you're a mother or a father, you love your children. You don't give up with them, even when they're silly and they do stupid things. You still love them. And you're there for them, or you should be, waiting for them to turn to you. And it's a wonderful thing. But that's the heart, isn't it? That's God's heart for the whole of mankind. He says God so loved the world that he gave. And not just as a one-off, but day in, day out, day in, day out, he's given to you through the Holy Spirit his love. And you can know that. Whether you feel it or not, of course, there are going to be lots of times when you won't feel it. You'll think, oh, dear Lord, have you really, perhaps you've given up with me. Perhaps, but he hasn't given up with you. If you think tonight that somehow God has given up with you, you know, maybe, you know, you haven't done, you made one or two bad choices, and life hasn't worked out as you would have liked, or whatever. Well, believe me, he's been there alongside you all the time. And his heart has never changed towards you. This is the fellowship that he wants to have with you. And the only question is, do you want to have fellowship with him? Well, are you prepared to believe that you're loved? That you can just give up almost and say, Lord, take me. Lord, I can't do it anymore. You know, one of the great blessings we've had in River Church in Orpington in the last year, really, is that we've had a number of men come to the Lord who have been delivered from cocaine addiction. And they've even set up a meeting, which is like a testimony meeting every Friday night. It'll be going on now, even on Good Friday. And they have someone come along, give a quite a good testimony about how, you know, they were addicted, and then they came out of it, and then they found the Lord along the way. And, you know, they're just thrilled that they found the Lord. We baptized about four of these guys back in October. But when you go to their meeting, what you learn is this is a common thread. These guys all came to rock bottom. They came to rock bottom. And they realized they couldn't do it themselves. They couldn't beat the addiction. And it seems to me that one of the things we suffer from is that we don't realize we can't do it. We think we can do it. We think we're a bit bad, but we're not really bad. And we can sort of struggle on and serve God ourselves without really knowing him and being in fellowship with him. And we can do Christian work. And we can do all that, but we don't really need him. These guys have realized that they need Jesus. And they can't do it without Jesus. And you realize that I know God brought me there, and has had to bring me there time and time again throughout my life, but I couldn't do it. I was trying to serve God, but I realized my motives were all wrong. And so I came and just thought, well, I can't do it. And about a week later, I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's what he does, because he wanted to have him in fellowship with me. But he had to wait until I came to that place where I said, I can't do it. I can't serve you, Lord. I need you. And that's the place of fellowship, because I think God doesn't want to fellowship with your image of you being sort of half righteous. He wants to fellowship with the real you, when you're broken, when you've got nothing. That's where the Lord wants to come. Because he says, that's when I can really pour my love into you, when you're like that. And he just wants to be real. He just wants you to be real with him and receive from him. And this is wonderful, isn't it? Well, I think it's wonderful, you know, that we don't have to do it ourselves. Now, you know, the thing about fellowship is this. When you're in fellowship with someone, you feel you can share everything with them. You know, now, I'd be quite wary about sharing with a lot of you my political views. Not because they're extreme, but just that I don't want to fall out with you over politics. Okay, but you know, if you're in fellowship, it doesn't matter if you actually disagree about something like politics. It doesn't matter, Because your hearts join together in fellowship. And really, at the heart of it, that's it. It doesn't matter if we disagree about this or that. Because really, you know, we're together, we love. At the heart, there is that relationship of love. And you know, because when we read this passage, we realize that John is not just saying, have fellowship with the Lord. He's saying, have fellowship with each other. Know this heart communion with each other. And you know, that's why we were called the fellowships, as I understand it. Because what we talked about was actually having, not just having a fellowship with the Lord, yes, first and foremost, that's it. It's having this heart communion with one another. And I wonder whether we've lost that in some way. You know, where you're just walking together, and you don't have to disagree about everything, but you know you're together in it, and you're walking together in it. You know, you've got to be honest to have fellowship. And he says this, doesn't he? The blood of Jesus Christ. He says this, so I'll go back and read it. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, you know, facing him, we have fellowship with one another. So that if you're walking in the light of him, you can share your heart with someone. Doesn't matter, does it? Because you're loved by God. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So you can disagree. And if there's sin, well, it can be washed away in the blood of Jesus. And this is the wonderful thing, isn't it? This is why he died, to wash away our sin. You know, Paul could say this. I read this week and I thought, wow, fancy Paul saying this. He said, I who am less than the least of the saints. How's the Apostle Paul saying that? Don't know what we think we are in terms of the saints, but he thought of himself as the less than the least of the saints. You see, when you're like that, you can have fellowship because you're not trying to protect yourself at all. You're saying, actually, I am no good, but it doesn't matter. You know, I you know, he had Christians killed. And maybe we've killed some Christians along the way with our mouths along the way. But it doesn't matter. God's greater than that. We don't have to live with the guilt of it. We can have our hearts cleansed by fellowship. And that's what Paul understood was the great truth that he could do. You know, John's great theme is love in this book. And love is the basis of fellowship. And we have that love. But that love must come from the Lord. And really, we have to get our hearts right with the Lord first. And if we try and go out and try, you know, oh, try and love everyone. Well, you've got to get your heart right with God first. Because I've learned that very quickly, you're not able to fulfill that. When you say, I'm going to go out and love, and you quickly realise that person drives you up the wall. Oh dear, I can't love. But the God's love. When we have fellowship with the Lord, it's when we know God's love in our hearts that we can have fellowship with others. And I believe this was God's heart for the church, that they might have fellowship for one another. I always find it a very challenging verse when Jesus says, love one another. By this shall all men know you're my disciples, when you have love one for another. That's the mark of the evangelistic church. They have love one for another. Not love because they're a cozy sort of social group and they all get on well together because they all got the same interests, but because the love of God has come. As I have loved you, love one another, Jesus says. And on that basis, we can love one another. On that basis, we can have fellowship with one another, because we won't if we don't know that that love from the Lord, first of all. So, beware, I would say, of people who never say sorry. Be careful if you're someone that never says sorry, because you've got something wrong. I sometimes think we think it's a virtue to never say sorry. Because, of course, the Lord never said sorry, so we mustn't say sorry. So we're somehow failing if we have to say sorry. Well, this is news. I'm not Jesus, and nor are you. And there are times when we tread on one another's toes, times when you say something that you wish you hadn't, or maybe you're glad you did, but isn't right. You said it in the wrong spirit, the wrong heart. Go and say sorry, or at least to the Lord. Say, Lord, please wash my heart. I'm not right. But don't be frightened. I know we can live, we're not careful with an attitude, we must be perfect. If you've got that attitude, it does not lead to fellowship, because you're just not being real. Get honest with God. Get honest with God, first of all. Yeah, I'm not saying you've got to go out and be honest with everyone down the road. Get real with God. And if God says go and say sorry to that person, go and say sorry. If that's what's going to release, if you like, wash away your sin, then do that. But let's get right with God. Let's get honest with him. As I say, last week, you know, I realized the brother was starting to really annoy me a bit. You know, he's a dear brother. He loves the Lord. He's given to the work of God, but he was starting to annoy me. But I just had to, and I sort of started to react to him a little bit. And I had to get down before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Wash my heart. It's not right. And fellowship's restored with that brother because of that. You know, we can be honest about our sins and our faults. I remember something Mickey Wright said. Those of you who know Mickey is a church leader in Scotland. I remember down at the summer conference one year, he said this when he was preaching. He says, people say that Calvary covers your sin. He said this, but Calvary only covers what you uncover. When you confess, what it says in here, isn't it? What John says, if you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive you your sin. So we mustn't go and say, oh, I'm covered. Doesn't matter what I do or what I say, I'm covered. Now get down before God and confess. When you know you've done something wrong, get down and confess it before God. Because that is what releases the cleansing in your heart. You're getting back into fellowship with God. You see, he can't have fellowship with you while you're in sin. So that's why he sent, so Jesus' blood will cleanse us from it. But Jesus' blood only cleanses what we're prepared to let it cleanse. And if we won't let the blood of Jesus cleanse us from that thing, we're going to hold on and we're right and they're wrong. And we, you know, I, the older I get, the more I think I just want to be reconciled to everyone. Because I think that's what Jesus wants. He wants reconciliation. And maybe, you know, there was a time when we had a great division in the church. One man particularly was stirring things up against me and against what God was doing. And I tried to work with this guy for about 2 years, 2 or 3 years. You know, go and try and play golf with him, try and be reconciled to him. And then he did something where I just could not stomach it anymore. And I was down on the summer conference in 2005, and I cried out to God. I didn't want to go to sleep. I just was completely, what on earth am I going to do? I've battled with this thing for 2 or 3 years. And then I heard a word on the radio, Mike Coles' radio, about being a pastor. You know, I'd been a pastor for 10 years at that point or thereabouts. And he said this, you pastors You can't, was it you pastors, you should be out leading your flock, but instead you'll be acting like sheepdogs, just trying to keep them together. And I thought, that's me. I'm trying to keep the church together and I can't lead it. And I realized at that point I could not continue trying to fight this battle. And at that point I thought I should leave. And it was scary. I was losing my house, because we were part of the URC at that point, the United Reformed Church. I lost my house, the church. The only thing I kept was a few people. And but we decided, I consulted some senior brothers here, and I decided it was right to leave. You know, I tried to keep in touch with that brother. Well, not in touch, but whenever we saw him around, to go up and shake his hand, say, how's it going? We started to meet in a hut, in the council run youth centre, and he started a children's work in the very same place because he fell out with the guy that followed me as well. And we had to be civil, didn't we, to him. But I determined that I would not, I just wanted to be reconciled. Couldn't work with him, impossible to work with him. I had to suffer. Well, in the end, I probably didn't suffer so much as it turned out, but it appeared we were going to have to suffer rather than try and fight him all the time. And God's honoured us. And the church is now 10 times bigger than it was when we started. And, you know, God's been for us. And I could say, I mean, I believe he's now passed into wherever his judgment is. I don't know whether he's gone to be with the Lord or not. He professed Christ. I don't know whether he didn't live like Christ. So that's up to the Lord. I haven't got any condemnation for him. It's up to the Lord to deal with him. But, you know, I know that I could meet him. And in my heart, I didn't have any bitterness. And this is what the Lord wants for you. That there's nothing. There's no one you're saying, oh. You know, when their name comes up, if only I could get my own back. Let God deal with that. That's because you cut yourself off from fellowship with God. And this is not what the Lord wants. You know, Jesus died to take away the barriers to him. And it seems to me too often we turn our back on the Lord for the sake of our own safety. You know, it'd be easy to sort of draw up the fault and say, yeah, well, you know, this is us. We're going to be against him. Instead of saying, well, Lord, you have your way. You deal with it. You deal with the issue. And I just want to, as I come to the end, I just want to talk about a friend of mine. He's gone to be with the Lord this week. He wasn't particularly a close friend, but there we were. He was one of the leading brothers, not an elder, but one of the leading brothers in the church in Eltham when I was a young man. And we didn't have a particularly close relationship, as I say. But I saw him a number of years after we'd moved on and they'd moved on. And I just knew in my heart, this guy, I'm in fellowship with this guy. There's just something, God's done something between us. And we'd walk together, you know, in the church, and God had done something. There was a fellowship there. And this is wonderful. You realize this is what God does. He gives you a heart of fellowship for other people, where it's a joy to be with them. And we went to see a young couple this afternoon, and you know, who used to be with us in River, and my heart thought, I'm in fellowship with you. God's done something. Although we haven't seen one another for a while, and I hadn't seen this guy for quite a number of years, really. He was moved to Australia eventually, and that's where he went to be with the Lord. But the thing is, I wonder whether we're like that with God. There was a time when we walked together, time when we were in fellowship. And then things have come in just now, you know, this is not bad, just different courses. God took us different ways. But, you know, we've sort of, yeah, it was nice. There was a time we really knew fellowship with the Lord. But now, not so much. You know, he's a bit distant, a bit cut off. Well, I want to encourage you tonight. He wants you to come back. He's not. There's nothing on his side that's a barrier to you tonight to come into fellowship. Nothing. So, well, I've done this, and I, you know, the last few years I've really followed the Lord. You know, I've sort of meandered about with my life, and it hasn't really gone anywhere. And yeah, I've got busy, and I made one or two wrong decisions, and all this, and we've become distant. Well, I want to encourage you tonight. The Lord wants you back in fellowship with him, with an open heart, just bearing your heart to him, sharing what's there, and letting him deal with anything that's stopping you walking with him. Would you do that tonight? Because I want to, the way's been made forward, the way's been made open by the cross. When Jesus cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That was your entrance. That was a time when you could enter into that fellowship. And it wasn't based on your goodness, based on your weakness. Because when we were without hope, Christ died for us. When we had nothing, it's because we think we got something. It's stopping us having fellowship because we're trying to protect it. Stop trying to protect it tonight. And just come to him and say, Lord, I want to come back into fellowship with you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Lord. Lord, thank you. Oh, Lord, I'm so thrilled, Lord, that you've made this way for me. Lord, I couldn't do it myself. Lord, I couldn't work it out. I just make a complete mess of it, Lord, and I'd have to be like that fly running around my back to you because, Lord, I was frightened in case you expose me for what I am. But Lord, you've received me. You've accepted me in Christ. And Lord, that's the one basis upon which I come, is that your son has died for me. And Lord, I thank you. That's true for everyone here tonight. That Lord, if we've committed sins, it says the blood of Jesus Christ will wash them away. As long as we confess them, the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from all our sin. And Lord, I thank you, we can enjoy that tonight and be thrilled with your goodness and your grace. So Lord, I just pray, Lord, if there's anyone here tonight that has perhaps run away from you, become distant from you, Lord, the way is open again tonight to come again, to confess there's an issue and say, Lord, we're going to come back, and it's going to be like just like the prodigal son. You're not going to condemn us. You're not going to tell us off. You're just going to open your arms to us and receive us again. So glad that we've come back. And Lord, I pray we would come back and enter into that fellowship once again that once we knew. Oh, Lord, bless your name. Bless you for your goodness. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that this is open heaven here tonight. There's an open heaven for each one of us. If only we'll come and face you. Lord, you don't just want to come and plonk stuff on us. You want us to come and face you and receive it and take it from your hand. So may we take forgiveness from your hand. May we take cleansing from your hand. May we take the smile of your face because we're facing you, Lord, and understand that you're smiling on us tonight. And you're saying, come and receive afresh. Come and be renewed in the spirit. Come and just know the joy of the Lord once again. Lord, that's what you're saying. And I thank you that way is open for each one of us. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah.